Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to Rabot and Co. here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
Ah, yes, from deep within the well-renovated Horseshoe Indianapolis racetrack, this is Louis Rabot. Happy Monday to everybody here on Rabot and Co. ESPN 680, 105.7. Zach Cantrell back at the station. Make sure that we are on the air. It was a great thing when I texted Zach, and Zach had forgotten I was doing this today. 437-9680 on the UPS job sex line. Zach, good morning. Go ahead. Come to the mic. Let's make sure that we're connected and doing all those things.
Oh, yeah. We're good. We're good over here.
There you go. So there you go. It is Bobby Bonilla Day, of course. It is also Ken Griffey Jr. Day. I don't know if people actually know that about him, but the Reds' final payment to Ken Griffey Jr. will be today as well. Obviously, conference realignment. It happens today. We'll have our new conferences today, July 1st. Happy new fiscal year to all those who observe. The Warriors are done. The Magic are interesting. The Clippers, I don't know what they're doing. They're changing the Home Run Derby, thank God. And we have plenty of NFL to talk as well. And I'm amazed by Simone Biles, but it's one of those people I simply don't know how to talk about. Again, 437-9680 on our UPS jobs text line. And I want to start with that conference realignment because it is a very different era and a different day today than it was even yesterday in college sports. When you hear names like Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC, when you hear names like Southern Cal and the University of California's Los Angeles campus in the Big Ten. Oh yeah, by the way, welcome Cal, Stanford, and Southern Methodist to the Atlantic Coast Conference. Other ones make more sense. They feel more natural. Utah, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado in the Big 12. For some reason, that doesn't seem as strange. But it's a different era to look down at Power 5 football and not see a Pac-12. It's a different era. And for sure, something that we've talked a lot about on this show, and it's something that I've harped on because I'm very passionate about it. College football is one of the finest athletic competitions we have in this country. It really is. It's great. It is. It's great. It's all of the stuff about sports that we love, plus the pageantry, plus the traditions, plus the built-in natural rivalries between towns and states. People in Ohio make fun of Michigan and vice versa. People in Kentucky pretend like they're better than West Virginia when they're not. It's great. Alabama and Mississippi pretend that one of those is better than the other. They're not. It's great. But the regionalisms are dead. And it sucks. And it's okay to say out loud. It's okay to have the old man take on this one. It's okay to wonder if it's okay that UCLA and Penn State are in the same conference. If Wisconsin and Washington really need to be playing conference games. If Cal and Clemson need to be playing basketball games on a Wednesday night. It's an okay question. The answer almost certainly is no. Almost certainly. But damn it, this is where we are. And I'm not going to sit around and sulk in what it is or what it should be or what it wasn't, but rather ask the question, what's next? Because I think every time this happens, we assume we're at some kind of terminus, that we're at the end of where we were planning to go. We've hit the last stop on the train, on the bus, whatever. And that's always a lie in sports. There's always something else. There's always something new. Small example, but not a small one. Drew Deaner's in Vegas over the weekend. for a slap fight competition. And while not attractive to me, I kind of get it. And I'm not saying it'll overtake boxing or UFC or anything like that. But there's always something else. There's always something new. And college sports are certainly no different. But we've gotten to a point where football rules, and by the way, it should, brings in the most money. It's the best of the college products. No offense to our area where college basketball reigns supreme, college football is better. But we do, it is a reasonable question to ask if it's better if you live in Indianapolis, where I am right now, for teams in Los Angeles, Eugene, Oregon, and Seattle to be in your conference, and the emphasis on your rivalry with teams just outside of Detroit or in Columbus, Ohio, or in Chicago is better for your school and better for your team. But looking forward is what matters here. And what does that look like? And what does it look like for our local teams? Because I think it's really easy for us to assume, okay, Kentucky's in the SEC, they're not going anywhere. The bylaws are such and such. Indiana's in this league, they're not going anywhere. They're in the Big Ten, they're not going anywhere. They're a founding member. And with Louisville, of course, what the hell's going to happen with the ACC is a fantastic question. And what does that look like going forward? And is there an ACC? Is there some kind of Big 12 thing? I don't know. But I think everything's on the table, and I think we need to kind of be ready for it. No, I'm not suggesting the SEC is going away at all. And I'm not suggesting either that they would be eager to get rid of Kentucky. I don't think that's true. And I don't think they'd be eager to move on from Indiana, for example, in the Big Ten. But if this stuff starts to get driven more and more by venture capital, by people looking to make not long-term money, but quick money, then some of those kinds of decisions could be made. Ask anyone in Pullman or Corvallis today how they feel about it. I got a buddy on faculty at Washington State. Thank God he cares about the academics and not the athletics. It's not great. Not great for them at all. But what is the next thing? And I thought John Hale, by the way, in the Herald Leader this morning, did a really good job of talking about how the SEC itself came to be in December of 1932 when they formed the league. The president of Florida at the time was John Tiger. And he said, since in our judgment, the time has arrived for a more compact organization for the administration of athletics, it seems wise for a division of the Southern Conference to be made solely on geographical lines. And it was a nice reminder that something I talk about a lot. Just because it was doesn't mean it has to be. And certainly we're seeing that. All of us are watching that happen in real time. But it is a reminder, too, that Florida, Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Sewanee, College of the South and Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Georgia Tech, LSU, Tulane, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State came out of that 23-team Southern Conference. There was a reorganization. And once in a while, I try to read these things and I try to look at them and think to myself, am I just missing a reorganization? Am I just missing a cleanup of the sport? I think the most glaring example right now outside of college sports and professional sports was the move of the Coyotes from Phoenix to Salt Lake City. And people may be thinking, okay, come on, hockey. Louis goes to hockey. Yeah, sure. But how many things are popping up in Nashville? How many things are popping up in Vegas? How many are popping up in cities like Salt Lake City? We're seeing this move in general in our country. We've talked about it a lot. And today, on July 1st, with the realignment of college sports, we're seeing it again, the move away from the coasts in this country. The Big 12 is based around Dallas. The SEC is based around Atlanta. The Big 10 around Indianapolis and Chicago. The move away from the coast continues, where Southern California wants to be affiliated with Indianapolis more than with Los Angeles or the Bay Area. That's a stunning development in my lifetime, a stunning development. That Dallas is more of a power broker in college sports than Los Angeles or New York City or any of those cities on the East Coast. It's amazing, frankly. And I'm glad that John Hale wrote this, because it was a reminder that we always do this. And so in my mind, if I wanted to go with positive radio for just a day, I would look at this as a reorganization and not as a contraction. Because at the end of the day, we went from a Power 5 to a Power 4. That is contraction by its nature. Now, there was expansion within conferences, for sure, for the ACC, for the Big 12, for the Big 10, for the SEC, for all of them. They're all bigger today. But that reorganization away from the coast, we're seeing it with our populations. No county in America lost more citizens than the one where San Francisco sits in the last 2 years. None of them. It's just a reorganization that we're undergoing as a culture, and it's interesting to watch sports do the same in the same way that Florida, Kentucky, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Sewanee, Vanderbilt, Georgia, Georgia Tech, LSU, Tulane, and the Mississippi schools decided they needed something a little bit easier to navigate. We don't need to be easy on the navigation anymore. We don't have to do that. But boy, it's strange. It is strange to look down and see UCLA listed next to Rutgers and Michigan State. To look down and see Texas next to Tennessee and UK. To see Utah between West Virginia, Colorado, and Texas Tech. What the hell is going on? But reorganization happens in sports all the time. It happens in sports all the time. So many of us root for teams that didn't start in the city where they are now. Hell, if you're a Louisville fan, you can probably remember five different conferences in a time of being independent. Between the Metro and the Big East, and the AAC, and the ACC, being independent, all those kinds of things. The more they change, the more they stay the same, frankly. And that's where, if you're in Indiana or Kentucky, you gotta count your lucky stars. That you were born on third base, essentially, with these conferences in the 1920s, being with their founding. I mean, frankly, with the Big Ten in the 1890s. But there you go. A new day. There are teams in the Bay Area of California in the Atlantic Coast Conference. There are teams in Los Angeles in the Big Ten. And there are teams in the SEC in places affected by the Dust Bowl. So here we are. Zach, good morning. And of course, our Monday morning reaction is presented by our friends over at Mays Plastic Kentucky.com. So go check them out. HairTransplantKentucky.com. Running a special right now, just a $75 consultation with board certified plastic surgeon Chet Mays. Look, these aren't plugs. This isn't a rug. This isn't your father's hair transplant. There's no scalpels, no scarring. This is your hair follicles. Check them out. Kentucky Hair Transplant. HairTransplantKentucky.com. I skipped over that one. Text line is rolling. 437-9680. Keep those coming. Zach, any reaction to the old July 1 being this drop-dead date for our realignment?
Yeah, it's not really a surprise. I mean, we all knew this day was coming, and I don't have a big reaction to it, only because we've known for months that Texas and Oklahoma were going to be in the SEC. We know what's going to happen in the ACC. So this is nothing new. I'm excited for the matchups that are coming. I'm excited we're getting Georgia versus Texas in the regular season. I'm excited we're getting Ohio State versus Oregon. We're getting, you know, Louisville versus SMU. We're getting a game that's never happened before. So I know people want to remember the old days, remember how the old Big 8 used to be and the whole old Pac-10 and Southwest Conference. Fact of the matter is, this is a sport that's moving forward. It's a different college football. Is it better? Is it worse? That's up to you to decide, but it's a different version of college football. I think the matchups are going to be great. I think the playoff's going to be great. We're in a different era, and I'm fine with it. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be fun. And I know people want to talk about have the old man take of how things used to be, but the reality is, the way things used to be, there's a reason it's called used to be. It's because it's no longer suitable to how it is today. And does the realignment make sense? No, obviously not. But that's the way of the world. You got to either keep up or you're going to be left behind. So the ACC did that. The Big Ten and the SEC have obviously done that. We'll see what ultimately ends up happening. I do think we're going to end up reshuffling in a couple of years or so. Maybe we'll have an, I don't know if overcorrection is the right word, but Look, outside of football, what I would have done personally is I would have just had football be its own separate thing and kept the conferences as they were for basketball and for the other sports, because I think one thing to ask USC to go to Columbus to play one football game. It's a whole different thing to ask USC to go to Columbus and Ann Arbor and East Lansing to go play a bunch of basketball games in the middle of the week. So maybe they correct that down the road. Maybe football just breaks off and becomes its own separate thing. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some of that moving forward. And I think you'll see some creativity as well, where let's say, you know, the Big Ten gets together and says, all right, we've got field hockey. Why don't eight of the teams in the league meet in Iowa City for a week and we get a bunch of conference games out of the way at a neutral site? Like that kind of stuff where you minimize travel, you know, for those kinds of sports. And you don't, you know, if you're playing field hockey at the University of Iowa, for example, which has a very good team, by the way, historically, you're really there to try to get a degree, right? You're not there to become a professional like you would be for the football or the basketball teams, those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Like you got to set those, you know, in that case, you got to set those women up with the best chance to do both of those things. So I think we'll get creative as time goes on, but there's just so much. I mean, think about, Zach, the fact that UCLA is taking the Big Ten, you know, going to the Big Ten because they were going to have to shut down half their programs if they didn't.
Right.
Right. And so in a weird way, I like to think of this more as a reorganization than a contraction, just because, you know, is it good if UCLA doesn't have the sports? Like, we're about to go to the Olympics. And those Pac-12 schools, man, are a big part of track and field, of swimming, of the sports that make up that kind of stuff. Do we want to lose that? I don't think we do. Now, it doesn't need to be the emphasis, but at the same time, if those things went away and we had less places for people to train at a high level for those things, I'm not sure it's better. And so, you know, it's probably better that UCLA's in the Big Ten. I get it. I think it does place more value on the ability, say, for an IU fan to go to Purdue, for an IU fan to go to Ohio State, to an Illinois game or something. And I think you'll see people start to latch on to those a little bit more than they used to. Like, people will realize, oh, they're playing in Illinois? Cool, let's go. You know right. what I mean? That kind of thing. So, people will adjust. They always adjust in sports. I didn't have, you know, a 65-inch flat-screen TV before. I do now, like everyone else, right? So, you know, I used to watch sports on much smaller televisions with terrible, grainy, you know, footage and kind of crap in the 90s or whatever. And so it's, you know, these things change over time for sure, and I'm just, you know, I think there are two schools of thought on it, and, you know, I think one way is to definitely just be – you know, do it that way. So,
but is anybody going to?
Are you all on remote? I'm hearing background noise on the stream. Oh no, go ahead.
But is anybody going to think about realignment when Georgia meets Texas later in the season, or when Ohio State plays Oregon, or when you get these big games that you wouldn't have had during the regular season? And I think the regular season product is going to be better. I think it would have been that way anyway with the 12-team playoff. I just think this happens to accelerate that. So, look, we're sports fans. We're all going to make adjustments. Like, look, if you've been an NFL fan your whole life, there have been times where you've been an NFL fan where the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Carolina Panthers, and the Houston Texans didn't exist. So, I mean, this is just the way of the world.
That's right.
Yeah, baseball, basketball, all the sports, they just add franchises. So, not that you're adding franchises here. They just happen to be in different locations. So, I mean, we're conditioned as sports fans to just kind of adjust. And look, again, like, it might be weird, and it's going to be weird at first, but don't tell me you're not going to be excited when USC goes to play Michigan in the regular season. That's going to be something that...
Yeah,
would you rather watch that, or would you rather watch Michigan beat up on Northwest Texas State? Like, I think this is going to turn out to be better for the sport. And it was it's a necessary evil, but it was one that had to happen anyway.
Yep, we'll look at it as a reorganization. Be a little positive radio on a Monday. How about that? We'll take a break here again. HairTransplantKentucky.com. My friend Chet Mays over there, Dr. Chet Mays, board-certified plastic surgeon. No hospitals, none of that stuff. In his clinic there in St. Matthews, they'll set you up. $75 for that consultation if you're thinking about doing a hair transplant. Maybe a new phase of your life. Maybe you just want to, you just want your hair back. Go check them out, hairtransplantkentucky.com. $75 consultation with a board certified plastic surgeon, running that special for at least the rest of July. A ton happened in the NBA over the weekend. The Warriors are moving on, and it is Bobby Bonilla Day. But look, people, we're gonna talk video game too. Don't worry, we'll do it all next here. Rabot and Co. ESPN 680, 105.7.
looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were sand and hills and rain. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry. But
you are listening to Rabot & Co. here on ESPN 680 1057. Now, here's Louis Rabot.
All right, live trackside up here at Horseshoe, Indianapolis. My name's Louis Rabot. This is Rabot & Co. on ESPN 680 1057. Find me on Twitter, at Radio Louis. We are here. If you have not heard, you're the only one because I've been screaming it on this show. Mike and I, Mike Gandolfo from the Horse Racing Happy Hour, we will be doing the Indiana Oaks and Derby draw today at 2 o'clock up here. So we are hosting that event up here. So really excited to hang out with Rachel and Eric and Tammy, the whole team up here at Horseshoe Indianapolis. You'll be able to find that on Twitter, both at their Twitter page and, of course, at Horse Happy Hour for the Horse Racing Happy Hour's Twitter page there. Again, thanks to Dr. Chet Mays, our sponsor in the first segment there, hairtransplantkentucky.com. Get over there, $75 consultation, nice and easy that way. So we are drawing the card at 2 p.m. today. That'll be what we'll do today, 2 p.m., live all over Twitter. Have a lot of fun with that. So excited to be up here. If you've never come, by the way, free to get in, free to park, the whole thing. They'll hand you a free cigar at the OTB on the first floor. It's going to be air-conditioned. We're looking at, like, mid-80s for Saturday. Come on up for Indiana Derby Day. It'll be a lot of fun. Come say hi to us under the awning here. We'll do our show 11 to 12 up here ahead of the first race on Derby Day on Saturday at Horseshoe Indianapolis. I thought about opening, Zach, this show today with the other thing that happens in sports all the time, that when it happens, we act like we're surprised, but it's the Warriors having to blow up what they've done, right? And so CP3 is going to move on to the Spurs, and, you know, it looks like Klay Thompson is not going to be a Warrior moving forward. And these are always interesting moments and breakups, et cetera, if you will. Just watching guys who you so identify with a franchise. So obviously CP3 less. But I mean, Klay Thompson, I mean, isn't it? That's one of those guys that I can't identify him with anything else, to the point that, Zach, right now I'm forgetting where he went to college.
Washington State.
It was Washington State. Okay, yeah. And so but just in my head, I was like, is it Washington State? Because I so identify him with the Warriors. And so it is an interesting, they were so successful and they were so influential on how the game is played, that, you know, the Celtics come along and it's certainly their version of it. But, man, didn't they play Warriors ball to win the title this year?
Yeah, that's pretty much how every team in the NBA plays.
Yeah.
The days of dominant big men are practically over. It's spread and shoot a bunch of threes, and it's just every time you watch an NBA game now, it's pretty simple. You just look at the team that made more threes. 99% of the time, that's the team that wins the game. It's really that simple.
Yeah, and the NBA championship list of teams is now very muddled, because since their last title in 2018, we've had the Raptors, Lakers, Bucks, Warriors again, and then the Nuggets, and then the Celtics. And it's this interesting, you know, since they went on that run in the mid, you know, teens, if you will, 15, 17, and 18, they win that extra one in 22, which, by the way, man, that's about as good a comeback run as anyone's made. Curry, of course, the MVP in that one. Do you remember the MVP for their first three championships by chance?
Yes, I do. Okay, the first one, Andre Iguodala, because he held LeBron to 36, 10, and 7. That was a joke. And then 17 and 18 were Kevin Durant.
That's right. And so Curry gets his finals MVP in 22, and you don't hear the name Klay Thompson on any of those lists. He's not Andre Iguodala. He's not Kevin Durant. He's not Stephen Curry. But man, they don't do it without him, for sure. And, you know, when he's not healthy, they don't make the finals. The Suns do. And so it is an interesting, interesting time, because they went, I think people forget, they went to four straight finals from 15 to 18. And then a fifth one in 19, lost two of those, obviously. One of the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard, one of those, of course, in the famous comeback series with LeBron. Just a remarkable run. They make it back in 22. They're not going to do anything moving forward with that core. It makes sense looking at the historical record why they did try to run it back again. It just was never going to work again. Do you Where do you think he ranks as far as guys on that team and their importance? Obviously, Curry's number one.
Yeah.
Is Thompson number two, despite the fact that he was never an MVP in the finals?
As far as the dynasty, it would have to be Durant, too. But overall, long-term, you probably would say Klay, because he's been on the team forever, and that's the best shooting backcourt in the history of the NBA, and I don't think that's even up for discussion anymore. You talk about, there were times that people thought Klay was actually a better natural shooter than Steph. Their shooting motions are so different, but, I mean, Klay had a game where he had a 37-point third quarter. He had a game against OKC in Game 6 in 2016 where he goes off and hits five threes or whatever in the fourth quarter and saves their season. So Klay had his moments. They don't win four championships without Klay being a big factor. Steph gets all the credit, but there's a reason they're called the Splash Bros and not just the Splash Bro being Steph. Klay Thompson was a big part of that.
I'll be interested to see moving forward as well. Is Klay Thompson a Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Like, did he? He is, right? Because he did enough. He won enough. And he's one of those guys that, if you're on a championship team, so we learned this about the Pistons. I'll be really honest. I'm not sure Ben Wallace is a Hall of Famer. Like, I'm just not sure. But I think there's such an obsession in basketball. If you win a title, there has to be a Hall of Famer on your team. That I wonder if Ben Wallace got in for that reason.
Now, don't you want them to not be in the Hall of Fame? Just so you can say, hey, we won a championship without Hall of Famers. Doesn't that sound cooler than, oh, we had one Hall of Famer?
I guess I always, what's funny is I get Ben's impact on the game, and he was a tremendous player for the Pistons. I always thought of Chauncey, if there was going to be a Hall of Famer, it was Chauncey Billups. I don't know. And maybe I'm overthinking just.
No, he was the Finals MVP. Guy, I would agree with you.
Yeah. And so I do wonder, you know, with Klay, what he goes down, and it's certainly he goes down as the second guy, but I don't think of him as far down, and maybe this is just because it's Jordan, do you think of him as much of a second man as, you know, as much of a second man as you do Pippen?
No. No, Scottie's a top 30 all-time player. Klay's not top 30 all-time.
So you think of Klay as way more of a second guy than Pippen?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, because I don't. I think of Pippen as the clear number two on that team.
Well, no, Scottie's definitely clear number two. No, yeah, I mean, if that's what you mean, yes. He was clearly the number two player on that team. But for a large portion of the Warriors' tenure, Klay was the number three player because KD was there.
Yeah, gosh, those teams were so malleable. There were so many different pieces. Iguodala, I mean, I know you made fun of him winning that MVP, but, dude, he...
Oh, he's great.
He was really important for those teams. Yeah, right. So, yeah, no, just an interesting thing. Klay moves on. Obviously, CP3 is moving to the Spurs, which is interesting. I do wonder at some point, you know, with him moving on, dude, he's going to be 39. This is his 20th NBA season. And, you know, they've got Wembanyama. They've got the core. They draft Stephon Castle. They got Jeremy Sochan. They got Trey Jones. I don't know what that is as a move for him. Is it just that he's going to get playing time and he's going to be, you know, maybe you just say second year with Wemby and he's going to be better and he's going to be able to do more than he did last year? Or is it this is the team that would sign me? I really don't know. But, I mean, just 20th season, Zach, it just seems like a lot. I don't know.
Yeah, have we gotten desensitized to being 20 years because LeBron just makes it look so effortless? But, I mean, yeah, it's hard to think Chris Paul's been in the league for 20 years, but it's been a while since he's been a real impact guy. I mean, the last time you could probably say that was, I think, his first year in Phoenix when he helped take the Suns to the finals. But the last 3 years or so, we're not seeing a great version of Chris Paul. Now, I like him in this role because I think he can be a tutor to Stephon Castle. I think he can help Wemby out as far as being that professional, that veteran guy. So I don't hate this move at all for San Antonio. Plus, it's only a one-year, $11 million deal. I would do that every time.
Yeah, I think the money and the terms make sense for sure. And, you know, it's extra point now, Draymond was vital. Yes. And that's a silly omission by me about how important Draymond was. And he might be the first guy to go in and not average double digits in any category and become a Hall of Famer.
And if he got in, I would not argue it because he was a heck of a defender. Yeah. And he was – no, him. It was Steph, Klay, and him are, I believe, the only three guys that were on all four championship Warrior teams.
All right. Hey, Zach, I am trying something with my headphones here. Can you hear me talking still?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right. Then I'm hoping what that'll do then is remove your echo from the back by doing what I just did. So hopefully that'll work out a little bit better. I appreciate people telling us that on the text line. 437-9680. I am Louie Rabaum live up here at Horseshoe Indianapolis up here. Texter Rip had better career numbers than Billups. Yeah, no, Texter also saying if Wallace and Billups are worthy of Hall of Fame discussion, then I'd have to add Rip Hamilton to that discussion. The Pistons go nowhere if they don't have Rip running all over the court, exhausting the number one defender on opposing teams. You're absolutely correct. He was a mid-range Reggie Miller. He was not a three-point shooter by any stretch, but he was a mid-range Reggie Miller for sure on those teams. But, you know, with this 20-season stuff, Zach, you're right. There is something about we take it for granted. You're totally right about that because LeBron is just so – it's not normal. It's just not normal what he does. So, Texter Klay Thompson, a top five shooter of all time, not top 10, top five. He's averaged at least three threes a game made while shooting over 40% for his career. He was the most memorable performances and multiple championships. I can't really imagine seeing the Splash Brothers apart. Yeah, that's going to be strange for sure. But I agree with the Texter that he's one of the great shooters ever.
Mm-hmm.
And the combination of those two guys, just a really fantastic, revolution for the league. And I wanted to talk about that just a little bit because, you know, like I said, more things they change, the more they stay the same. But in this case, change is inevitable with aging cores, right? And so you're going to have to make those changes and do those things. Do you think the Warriors can re-rally around a Draymond and a Steph, or are they going to have to do something different?
I think they're going to have to basically completely start all over again. And I don't think Steph's ever going to leave because I think it's important to him that he's a one-team guy. So unless Golden State makes the move, I don't see him leaving. I'm surprised Draymond wasn't the first domino to fall because everybody kind of expected that to be the case. Remember a couple years ago he got in the fight with Jordan Poole and people were talking about moving him. That ultimately has not happened. But, no, you give up Clay. Clay last year wasn't all that good. This move was inevitable. So I think if you're Golden State, you won the four championships over the last decade, but I think it's going to be similar to the Bulls where they won six titles and then the Bulls have gone on 25 years of – I wouldn't say irrelevancy, but they haven't really been a big factor outside of a couple years with Derrick.
Yeah, not being impactful.
Yeah, right. wouldn't surprise me if Golden State kind of goes down that same road, but I think they got to basically blow it up and start all over again.
Can you name the top five teams, now that the Celtics have 18, the top five teams by total number of titles in the NBA?
Other than Boston, or are we including Boston?
Boston, obviously.
Boston, Lakers. Warriors.
Yep, they have seven. How about that?
Bulls.
Six.
Spurs?
And yeah, all of them in your lifetime. That's right, starting in 1999. So, yeah, there you go. So, and then after that, there are three teams of three. The 76ers, their last title was in 83. The Pistons, their last title was in 04. And then the Heat, all of those are since 2006. And so it's an interesting... That league, man, that's why the Warriors thing is so impressive. I think people forget is it's either just massive dynasties in the case of the Bulls. I don't know how you would categorize the Spurs, but with titles in 99, 03, 05, and 07,
they're a dynasty
that's an
for
incredible
me.
Run. Yeah, I agree with you, especially in that 8-9 year period there where they get the four titles.
Yeah.
And then, but after that, you've got the three teams with three. Man, no one else has more than two, and there's three teams with that. So this is... The NBA is such a top-heavy league, and basketball lends itself to that, of course, with how impactful single players or a duo of players could be. And so it's not so shocking there. Texter saying the echo's gone. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
all right, good. I'm glad.
Think about what the Warriors were before Steph and Klay got there. They were a franchise that had one championship, but for the better part of 30-some-odd years, they were known for making boneheaded decisions. They were a franchise that, outside of the We Believe team in 07 when they beat the Mavs, they were basically irrelevant. I mean, Warriors fans booed Joe Lacob, the owner of the franchise. They booed him at I forget whose retirement ceremony it was. It might have been Rick Barry or Chris Webber or somebody like that. But they booed him, and this was right during the beginning of Steph's career, and it was only a couple years later that now the Warriors have been the model franchise in the NBA for the last decade. So that goes to show you get the right couple of guys, the narrative flips awful quick.
Speaking of narratives flipping, obviously Paul George goes to the 76ers. I thought an interesting, sneaky, good move was the Magic signing Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And so getting him for about 2021 a year for a three-year, that's a guy that he's taken a little while to really grow into his game. Shot over 40% from three the last two seasons in Denver. That makes them really interesting, and they still have some off-season room to go after other guys. They have an exception. They have a second rounder. They have a veteran minimum for all of those spots. So they've got spots as well for other players. But Jalen Suggs, KCP, Franz Wagner, Paolo Banchero, and Wendell Carter Jr., dude, with Cole Anthony, Anthony Blackjet Howard, and Tristan Da Silva on the bench, they're pretty good, man. And that's a young team that just got a guy who's a little bit more of a veteran, who's won a championship, obviously, in Denver last season. That was a sneaky good move to me. I didn't know if that caught your eye, Zach.
Yeah, it did. I think that's a sneaky franchise going forward. I mean, we saw what they were able to do last year. They were 5 seed with Paolo Banchero. That's a franchise that's now willing to spend money. And it seems like Orlando always pops up every, 10 years or so when they got Shaq, they got Dwight Howard. I don't know if Banchero turns out to be that guy, but they've got some flexibility. I think they're going to be very active, and it would not surprise me if they're one of the top three or four teams in the Eastern Conference next year. I know Boston clearly gets one of those spots. I'd say the Sixers are now firmly entrenched there with adding Paul George and the Bucks. Outside of that, I think the Magic can play with just about anybody in the Eastern Conference.
Texter, for my money at 45 years old, these Warriors teams were the best offenses to watch in my life. I would say that's absolutely true for me, Zach. And I'm a guy, you know, and it's now become a very famous take of yours about 90s basketball on this show. But right. for sure. And oh, no, don't start playing music right above me, Casino. Oh, no. All right, let's take a break. I'll work on the music. We'll come back. 437-9680. Keep it coming on the UPS Jax text line. More Roboco. We do it next here. ESPN 680, 105.7.
Riders on the storm, riders on the storm, into this house we're born, into this world we're thrown, like a dog without a bone, and actor out alone, riders on the storm.
You are listening to Rabeau and Co. here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Now, here's Louis Rabeau. His brain
is squirrel. All right, welcome back in. Thank you to Cindy, the very nice woman who works here, who turned off the music for me here at Horseshoe Indianapolis. We're up here ahead of the Indiana Derby draw. If you are so interested, 2 p.m. today, Eastern Time, no matter where you're listening, at Horseshoe Indianapolis's Twitter feed, and, of course, at Horse Happy Hour for ours as well. HS Indy Racing is their Twitter feed up here. So you can check out me and Mike Gandolfo doing the Grade 3 Indiana Derby and Grade 3 Indiana Oaks draws today on those streams. Should be a lot of fun up here around 2 o'clock. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day to those who celebrated. Texture had done a really good job of sending in a photo of the other people getting paid out today at 437-9680. Wanted to get all of those together. Zach, do you have that by chance in front of you? Oh, there it is.
Ken
the
Griffey
Nationals
Jr.
are paying... Yep, Ken Griffey Jr. is getting essentially 3.6 from the Reds today.
Yep.
Manny Ramirez about $2 million from the Red Sox. And the Nationals have to pay Max Scherzer $15 million today. How about that?
Should we call it Max Scherzer Day with that kind of money?
Look, listen. Today, yes, Bobby Bonilla less. Did you see Darren Ravel had the Bobby Bonilla hat? Do you like that?
Not really.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Did you see? Yeah, you saw Bobby Bonilla. Bobby Bonilla is going to make more money today than Brock Purdy is going to make this season.
Do you like that deal for Bobby Bonilla, or would you rather just have the money up front, not knowing how long you were going to live, etc.?
I probably would have taken the money up front, but from a purely comical standpoint, I like that Bobby Bonilla is doing what he's doing.
Oh, yeah, it's way funnier this way. I'm with you. Yeah.
I mean, how great is it to know, like, you know what? No matter what else happens the rest of the year, I know every July 1st I'm getting $1 million. Like, that must be nice.
That's really... Yeah, it really must be. 437-9680 is the UPS Jobs text line. Keep those coming. I appreciate everybody hanging out with us here on Rabeau & Co., on ESPN 680 105.7. So, yeah, 2 o'clock today. We'll be doing that draw up here at Horseshoe I think there's a chance Andy Sweeney's just going to come in and ruin the show. Make the jaunt over from downtown Indianapolis. We'll see how all that's going later in the show. But anyways, reminder too, it is a Chick-fil-A Monday over at the station. Stony Brook at Bardstown, your home for all of the best catering of any Chick-fil-A in the area. The nuggets, the mac and cheese, all those trays, perfectly sized for your crew, whether you're around the pool. Maybe as we get into football season, man, we are not that far away. You need them for a tailgate. Go check out our friends at Chick-fil-A. Order on the app or have dinner ready in no time for you as well. Check out at the restaurants for all the details with that. But Stony Brook and Bardstown Road, Chick-fil-A, we appreciate them hanging out with the show. 437-9680 is our UPS Jobs text line as well. Zach, I have a lot of football on here, texture. Ravel bragging about having the biggest MLK collection was an all-timer. It is an all-timer. You're 100% correct, yes. Which signing do you like better, Harden for 2 years to the Clippers or Paul George to the 76ers for four?
Oh, Paul George, easily. Because Paul George, I still think, is one of the best players in the league. James Harden, I think, is washed up. And he hasn't really contributed much the last couple years. And him staying with the Clippers doesn't make the Clippers an NBA Finals contender. Paul George going to the Sixers to have with Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid, who, when healthy, is one of the three or four best players in basketball. You get that big three together, that's a team that has a chance against the Celtics. I don't know if they're better, but that puts them in the conversation.
Something that bothers me about the modern NBA is I don't believe anyone when they tell me they're injured. I think you're going to see Joel Embiid be magically not injured this season.
I don't know. We've been waiting for that to happen for a few years now. I mean, they had James Harden, and they've had studs in the past, and he's still gotten hurt. I don't know if I buy that.
Man, somebody's telling me to look up Iverson's deal with
Reebok.
Yep. And how $800K a year, as well as a $32 million trust fund that he has access to in 2030. A lifetime deal with the shoe company, $800K a year and $32 million trust fund in 2030. We're almost there, Alan. You can do it. Oh, man. We're so close. Oh,
you know why the Bonilla. You know why the Bonilla contract happened, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't hear the story?
So no, tell me.
They did it because they had accounts with Bernie Madoff that guaranteed a 10%+ return. So this happened in 2000,
right
before, you know, this is 8 years or so before Bernie Madoff's entire empire collapsed. So, yeah, typical Mets.
One of my favorite all-time quotes of ever of anything in sports is Allen Iverson talking about after the strip club taking all the strippers to TGI Fridays.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess Snopes said it's not a real quote, but it was Allen Iverson denies a claim made by former teammates that he occasionally spent $40,000 at a strip club when he was a 76er. Quote, first of all, it was like $9,000 at most. And there weren't any strippers at the TGI Fridays on City Line unless I brought them. Sometimes I brought a bunch. And I suppose, yeah, in those cases, the bill could have been up to $40K because they didn't have endless appetizer thing back then. Oh, I need that to be real so badly. Just the idea of spending $40,000 at a TGI Fridays on endless appetizers.
Just on apps. Forget the rest of the meal. Just appetizers. No alcohol, nothing.
Show he's got to pay more taxes than Brock Purdy makes in a year. That's about right.
That's one of my all-time favorite lines is Charles Barkley when he got arrested and he was in court for throwing a guy out the window. And they asked him, like, do you have any regrets? He said, yeah, I actually do. I regret we weren't on a higher floor.
Oh, man. 437-9680. Bunch of good texts on the UPS Jobs text line. Appreciate people hanging out with us. I'm Lou Rabeau. I'm up at Horseshoe, Indianapolis, ahead of the Indiana Derby draw today, 2 o'clock on all the socials. Go find us there and hang out with us today. The Bobby Bonilla thing for sure is very funny, but I gotta say this, and I just want to kind of get this out of the way, not out of the way, but just, you know, we got the Olympics coming up. I feel like you and I are going to talk a fair amount of Olympics just because I know we're both going to be watching and we're going to be interested in it.
Yeah.
There are sports, Zach, and I was trying to come up with another example of this and I couldn't really do it well. But sports that I've never played and never really tried to play, where I can watch someone and I just know they're way better than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And Simone Biles is that person. Like, it is unbelievable what she's able to do that other people simply cannot do. and it's, you know, when we, the only other sport I could come up with that I don't have any background in is that's an Olympic sport that I know when I see it is figure skating. Like, you can kind of tell if a skater is considerably better than everyone else. But it's been a while since there was a huge gap between figure skaters, right? It's gotten, the sport's gotten to a point where, you know, there are 10 women at any point that can win a gold medal, right? And that's a great thing, by the way. It's good when, you know, sports are competitive and they've got as many good athletes as possible. But what Simone Biles does is just different. And, you know, an emphasis for me on this show is to talk about, you know, greatness when it's happening in front of you. I can't imagine a much better athlete at anything right now than Simone Biles. Like, she might be the best in any sport in the world. And I'm not sure that I even know what I'm watching with gymnastics.
I don't know what I'm watching either.
I don't know.
But I know when I... It's one of those, like, you know greatness when you see it, but you can't really describe
Correct.
It.
Yeah. No, that's right. It's one of those things, and I was trying to think of, you know, other examples in sports where I don't know a lot about the sport. I'm not going to pretend to be a gymnastics expert. But damn it, I know she's way better. I can just see it with my own eyes. Texter, how does Bobby Bonilla affect the Cowboys OTAs? Look, I mean, it's a great question. Jerry Jones would not have made that contract. You understand me?
Oh, I bet
way
he would
better
have.
Run. It's not about the money down there. Dak Prescott's not about the money. We learned that on ESPN. It's just, it would be different. Texter, Barkley was with Frank Thomas and another huge athlete I can't remember.
Bo Jackson.
Imagine talking crap to them. Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
That was the trio?
Yeah, they were all at Auburn at the same time.
God. Oh, man, imagine talking crap to them at a bar, LOL. Yeah, nope, wouldn't do that. Nope. God. Man. Well, Barkley's great line is there are two types of people in the world, people who root for Alabama and people who are going to heaven.
That's right.
That's good stuff. But, yeah, I just, Simone Biles, man, it's just trying to, I mean, just, she's just, it's different. She's better. And I was, you know, it's, they wrote about it in The Athletic here, and it's three questions. Simone Biles, is more back than ever outside of gymnastics diehards, which I am not. The last time most Americans saw Simone Biles compete was 3 years ago at the Tokyo Olympics. Biles, the greatest gymnast the sport has ever seen, left Japan in a medal battle. A lot has happened in those 3 years. She's moved on. She's breaking the sport again, and at 27 years old, which is an ancient age for a gymnast. At the same time, this week, Testemeyer wrote about her new floor routine, which boasts her journey proudly. I snagged Tess for a couple questions about her, and Tess goes into this a little bit about it. It's interesting. Do you remember in Japan, because she got crushed by a fair number of people, Zach, and I don't know if you remember at the time when she said, was it the spins? Is that
twisties.
What they're called? When the twisties, that's what it was. You know, you get the twisties, and there's something about this, and my sister trained in figure skating when we were kids, and they train you how to keep your balance and keep your motion in check when you're spinning by focusing on something that you come back to every time that you do a rotation. And so with Simone Biles, obviously in gymnastics, you're trying to do something similar where you're obviously not grounded when you've done these leaps with the, you know, with the twists and these sorts of things, but you have to be able to identify where it is that you're going to land or where the bar is that you're going to grab onto next or whatever it might be. And she just wasn't able to do that
mm-hmm.
in Tokyo. Like, she just had to step out of the way. Because, I mean, frankly, if you think about it in just practical terms, you could probably really hurt yourself doing that, right? And
yeah.
But do you remember how much criticism she caught, too, for,
oh yeah,
like, quote-unquote, bailing on this?
Sure.
Thing? Yeah. Yeah. Did you have a feeling at the time?
Not really. I mean, I understood why people weren't too happy about it, because you go over there and you have her on the team, you expect her to compete, but at the same time, it's one of those, if your mind isn't right, like gymnastics, you don't really have a helmet, or you don't have something that can save you from having like a neck injury or something like that. So if you can't do it, then you're risking your life. You can't do it.
I think that's where I ended up, too. So, yeah, just an interesting thing. Texter say Katie Ledecky's in that conversation, too. Yeah, once in a while, swimming does that, too, right? I don't know a thing about swimming.
Oh, did
but
you see?
Michael Phelps was so obviously the best, yes, right.
I saw a picture. I don't remember. It was a men's swimming event, but I forget the guy's name. But at the end of it, he won, like, the 1,500 meter or something, and he was the only guy in the picture. It was like Secretariat at Belmont. There was nobody in the picture. Kay Ledecky's had a few of those kind of races, too, back in the... I think she'd won a couple of Olympic events where you couldn't even see who was in second.
Yeah. Getting the shanks in golf, except the shank won't kill you. No, that's exactly right, Dexter. It's that one of those things... And you hear guys at, like, a Major League Baseball where they just can't see the ball all of a sudden. You know, you hear guys... I would love to start a segment like this where pro athletes talk about their craft, and it's just mind-blowing what they're able to comprehend and, you know, put together, and I don't even know the best word here, but to just the ability to put it all together, like hearing Ken Griffey Jr. talk about how he can see the stitches on the ball as it spins in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
That's something that's going 100 miles an hour. Yeah. Some going 100 miles an hour, and you can see it that closely.
God! Yes, right, that kind of stuff. Like, I'd love to hear a good compilation of those kinds of things. So, yeah, what I'm watching is the seams on a baseball going 98 miles an hour straight toward me. Yeah, no, that kind of stuff just really stunningly difficult for me to understand. So, yeah, just that. Yeah, Usain Bolt is that guy for me. Yeah, it's a good one, Texter. Like, you just know. Like, but I ran, you know, so I understand running. Like, I understand, you know, the basic concepts of track and field. I don't of gymnastics, and I don't of swimming, right? And so it's Simone Biles, just how she can. I mean, she did a vault over the weekend. I mean, the floor exercise itself is absurd, and what she's able to contort and do. But she did a vault with no twist, Zach, and landed it.
Right.
Like, full speed, still managed to use her time in the air to slow herself down. It's absurd, man. It's so good. I mean, it's just so good, and it's just so fun. And again, it was a reminder of why I love the Olympics. And I will not hide from this fact either, Zach. I totally wrap myself in the flag from up. No question.
Oh,
I absolutely wrap myself in the flag.
Yeah.
Same, I assume.
Yeah. We'll watch. We're as Americans, we'll watch anything as long as we can chant USA. And if we win, then
yeah, that's right.
It's the best sport ever. We're better than you. Like that. Nothing brings America together quite like the opportunity to beat other countries in, well, anything, but especially sports.
That's exactly right. 437-9680, UPS job checks, like, keep those coming. I think the last thing in my sort of potpourri segment here of random stuff, did you see the reaction of the kid who got drafted third overall in the NHL draft?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So in the modern era, it seems like a lot of the teams call the guys right before they get drafted, right? Obviously, we see this in football. We see the reaction videos. And basketball, we obviously see this as well. And so it's a fun, I think, those are part of the draft, right? Seeing the guy with his family and, you know, at the party or whatever. And and for this kid to be there in the ridiculous sphere in Las Vegas, has no idea he's about to go third. You don't see actual legitimate shock on someone's face like we did with that kid. I just thought it really stood out, and what a cool moment for that guy to go top five in a draft, and, you know, stuff they worked for his whole life, and just you know, very, very cool as well. And by the way, can you play the Grind My Gear sounder for me, because I got one thing that happened over the weekend. I'm not bad at all. I'm not mad that the sporting event itself is back, but how it began really bothers me. How do you start the Tour de France in freaking Italy? How? Italy! No! They have one. It's called the Giro. You don't start it in Spain because they have one too. If you start it in another country, you start it in a bum country like the one my family's from, Belgium. That's what you do. Not this Italy stuff. It's enough Italy already. Romain Bardet won that one. We're not doing updates on the Tour de France, don't worry, people. I do love it. More Tour de France talk, we do it next.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it It's time to replace your heating and air system. We know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.